Good morning, everybody. So I have come from India to present my work as part of my doctorate. So in India, a few studies has been conducted on measuring methane emission from rice wheat system, but studies to measure nitric oxide emission, they are lacking, and especially in my state, it is the first of its kind. So there was a long-term experiment going on, which is 18 years old. So that was selected to study the effect of different long-term treatments in which fertilizer manures were applied in rice wheat system in northern India. So the objectives of the study was to, one was to quantify how much nitric oxide is getting from the fields in that area. So to measure nitric oxide emissions during rice and wheat seasons. The second objective was to study the effect of different long-term treatments of fertilizer and manures. So, as I said, it was a long-term experiment, 18 years old experiment, and in it, 12 treatments are there, and of those 12, 7 were selected purposefully, which comprised of chemical fertilizer, unknown 3 rates, and also included green manuring, straw application, and farm yard manure application along with the control. So, you can see at the below, this is the wheat season. Wheat was sown in November, harvested in April, and during the month of May, green manuring was carried out, and rice was transplanted in June and harvested in October. So this is the tale of the treatment. T1 is 100% recommended NPK, that is given at the bottom, 120 kg nitrogen, 26 kg P, 25 kg K. Second was 150% for the three NPK fertilizers. In the T3 only N was applied. These are the long-term treatment and repeated every year and in each rice and wheat crop. So T4 is the in which straw was applied, and T5 is FIM, T6 is green manure, and 7 is control treatment. So this is from where the work started. I have got an opportunity to visit to UBC during 2012 and work in the lab of Dr. Andy Black in Faculty of Land and Food System, where I learned the how to construct these chambers, because nobody in my department was having in-depth knowledge about these. So after knowing the basic, then I went back to India and constructed these chambers myself. So here, these are the chamber base. These were installed just after the sowing or transplanting of rice and left in the field. So these are the smaller chambers which were used for the wheat season. And for rice, chambers with much 60 centimeter height, they were used. So these are the fields in. You can see that in the background, it is a rice field and chambers are there. And this one is in the wheat season. You can see the size of difference in the size of chambers. So now I start come to the rice season. So in the rice season, plenty of rainfall takes place. It is a monsoon season and temperatures are quite high. It remains between 30 to 40 degree, and we receive up many times up to 100 mm of rainfall. Almost every week, approximately 10 to 20 mm rainfall is obtained. So now I come to the nitric oxide emissions daily flux during the season. So these downward arrows indicate the days of fertilization. So you can see after the fertilization events, there was a rise in nitric oxide fluxes, but the maximum peak was observed just after the first application, while after second and third application, the peaks were quite less. So this T1, 2 and 3 are the chemical fertilizer treatment, and T7 is control. So as the number of treatment was 7, I have just split it into 2. So these are the T4, 5, 6, they are the organic amendments. So you can see that in this slide, maximum nitric oxide emission is up to 200, or average it is about 50 gram nitric oxide per hectare, but in chemical, it is much higher, up to 300. So we can see that where chemical fertilizer is applied, the nitric oxide emissions were quite high. So this is season cumulative emissions. So we can figure out that T2 is the treatment where 150% NPK was applied. So more than 1.5 times nitrogen was applied, and maximum nitric oxide emissions was there. It was followed by the T5, in which green manuring, Sabinia green manuring was carried out. And control in the control treatment T7, the fluxes were quite low. So these are the cumulative treatments, and here is the grain yield. So you we can see that although the control yield is 4.6 tons per hectare, and highest yield obtained is with the T5, it is 8.4. So, but with the application, or in the T2, it is 7.64. If we are applying nitrogen fertilizer, although we are getting double the yield, but nitric oxide emissions, they are about more than 3 times. So in control treatment without application of a nutrient, we are getting 4 tons of rice grain yields. So now you come to the wheat season. In wheat season, temperatures are quite low. They range from 12 to 20 degree, 10 to 20 degree, and sometimes they even drop below that. So there are few rains during the wheat season towards the middle or towards the end of the wheat season from the southwestern disturbances. But otherwise, rains are very few, and the total amount of rainfall received is quite low as compared to the rice season. So here also we see two fluxes in the nitroxide, two peaks in nitroxide emissions followed by the fertilization event, and the third peak is related to the event of high rainfall event during the wheat season. So these are the organic treatments, and just like the rice season, comparatively in the chemical fertilizer treatments, the nitroxide fluxes were higher by 10 gram per hectare per day. The other interesting thing is that during the later part of the wheat season, when no chemical fertilizers we have not applying any nitrogen fertilizer, but the fluxes were these are the chemical and these are the organic, and in the organic treatment the fluxes were comparatively higher than the chemical fertilized plots. So this could be due to that long term cultivation of rice wheat, they have improved the soil structure and they were holding more of water, and there were microsites where denitrification was taking place. So after this I might be going for the particle size analysis that can give me the better answer. So these are the cumulative wheat emissions for the season. We can see that in the rice season they were about 8 kg nitroxide nitrogen per hectare, and in wheat it is between 2 and 2.5 kg. So comparatively during wheat season nitroxide emissions were quite lower as compared to the rice season. So in this also the difference between control treatment and the various fertilizer manure treatment, that is also less as compared to the rice season. So these are the wheat yields and the cumulative emissions which I have shown earlier. So we can see that here in control and in the various N application treatments, we obtain double of the yield as compared to control. So similar is the trend of nitroxide emission. It is almost double in various N application treatment as compared to the control. But in rice, it was about 3 times. So now I come to my conclusions. I think I have spoken too fast. I was running just like anything. So my conclusions are that nitroxide emissions were quite high in rice season as compared to the wheat season. The possible and the most valid reason is that during rice season temperatures are quite high, and there were water was continuously standing in the fields, and there were plenty of rainfall. While during winter season temperature for 2 months during December and January, it was just 4, 5 or 10 degree temperature, a degree centigrade, and there was few rainfalls events, and so less reduced condition was there, and due to low temperature microbial activity was also low, due to which resulted in low denitrification losses. So as per well established fact, most of the nitroxide peaks in nitrate fluxes were observed after the nitrogen fertilizer application, and these fluxes were comparatively high where nitrogen was applied from chemical sources, while in organic where organic nitrogen was applied from either from green manuring or farmyard manure or straw was applied, the fluxes are comparatively low, but they have a tailing factor, so that when nitrogen as chemical form is applied, the there is shot up and then comes down. But in these organic long-term treatments, it was just following a slow peak. So they, during the wheat season, there's a significant positive correlation was found between nitro fluxes and total water input. That total water input is total amount of, there were two irrigation plights and the rainfall. So it was weakly worked out, and it has a very positive, about 60% of the variation could be explained by this during the wheat season. But during rice season, no weather parameter could explain variations in nitrogen fluxes. So at the end, I would like to say special thanks to Dr. Andy Black, who was from where I started this work. So thanks to him. That's all. Any question, please?
Back on schedule, and we still have time for questions.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Yes, I have a question about the residue management in pork producer systems. Are the residues left on the surface and incorporated, or how is that done? Because that's carbon input might influence your nitrogen. Yeah. That's it. In general, in our state, most of the crop residue, they are burnt before preparing field for the next crop. In my experiment, I was having three organic treatments. One was farmyard manure was added, second was green manuring was carried out, Sesquinia was sown and plowed into field after 30 days, and the third one was straw. It was straw was applied before first preparatory tillage and after first tillage and before the second one, and it was incorporated into the soil. So in the T6 treatment, so the straw was incorporated in the soil, and the air fluxes were quite low as compared to the green manuring or FIM treatment. So possibly nitrogen immobilization might have taken place in there. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, sir. The main, all the other practices were as per the common farmers' practices recommended by university. Yeah.
I know it's very common to apply the first amount of nitrogen right at the start of the season.
Yes.
It always seems to me not a good idea because there's no crop to take it up. Have you looked at what happens if you alter the timing? Would you perhaps get smaller peaks if your application more matched the product?
Exactly right, sir, because I has started with the observation that this is the first of its kind. There was no any study to measure greenhouse gas emissions in rice wheat or any other system. So now I have started this work. I have measured these emissions from the ongoing experiment where treatments have been final for many years. So after getting these results, now I may plan my experiments in which I will be studying. We can study also the nitrogen application based on leaf color charts and real-time nitrogen application, so, and scheduling our irrigation. So there are many possibilities that we can decrease nitric oxide emissions. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.